Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. It is the build-up show. Liverpool are alive. We are playing Burnley on Wednesday night at Turf Moor. Wow. Yeah, I'm not really sure how we are meant to get on with our normal lives, knowing that Liverpool's goalie scored the 94th, 95th minute winning header in the last game. But here we are. We move on. I am Paul Machin. Ross Chanley joins me in the studio. Errol Smith and Sam Walker from home for this one. Ross, we've just done the final word, which is there for YouTube members at tier 2 or tier 3 or subscribers on the redmantv.com. But you can go check that out. But if you want to carry on with this, by all means, we're live right now. You've got the mission now. Great. The elation, we've still got another day, I think, to sort of revel in it. We've got the rest of our lives to watch that Alisson goal back. The team have got to get their heads back down, get themselves as fit as possible. That goal has to mean something. What a complete and utter waste if we then don't end up getting top four. So yeah, Burnley right in front of us now. No result on Tuesday night between Leicester and Chelsea is going to put us in the top four. We've got to go and get those 3 points.
Yep, we've got to use that momentum, that mood that we're all in today, and the players should do the same. But also, it could equally be a kick up the arse those players that haven't scored a goal. Watch your back when the fucking goalkeeper's not running. You've got to watch what you're doing. Same energy. I said the same thing about Manchester United when we did the build up for West Brom. It has to mean something. It's all right being happy. It's all right going to Old Trafford and breaking records or breaking records with the goalkeeper scoring a goal. But it's all pointless. It's not wasted energy because it was amazing. But I don't want to be sat here in 2 weeks' time or a week's time, rather, going, we haven't made top four.
We'll always have that goal. We'll always have that moment. We'll always have the Old Trafford win, we can make our peace with the fact that there weren't fans in the stadium and all that kind of stuff. But it's right, isn't it? Sam, we look at corner taken quickly, Origi matters because we go on and win the European Cup. The Lovren winning moment against Dortmund is fantastic, and we all talk about it. And up until that point, it was probably the greatest goal celebration I'd ever been part of in the Cop. But it mattered to a point, and that's the point. No one will ever take Alisson's goal away from us. No one will take it away from him. The celebrations will exist forever. We've all got those smiles and memories. But what I mean by that is that this is it. Now I want it to be part of a bigger story, and the bigger story is Liverpool have got to get in the top four.
Yeah, and I was saying before the West Brom game that was massive, because if we beat West Brom, it would mean that it would go to the last day regardless. We'd be in with a shout at Anfield with all of our fans there. And that, now we've done that, that still remains the case regardless of what happens this week. But to play Paul Machin here, this is a bit like the 17th hole of the Masters final round. If we sink a double birdie on Wednesday, it might be enough. If we go and beat Burnley, it might be enough. We might go level with Leicester and they may lose their last two games, and we might qualify on goal difference. So we've got an opportunity here to put one foot in next year's Champions League by beating Burnley, and then it's saying to Leicester or Chelsea, whoever loses that game, you've got to hope for a miracle on the last game of the season to qualify. Otherwise, you're in deep shit. And both of them have got hard games coming up. So this is huge for us. We need to treat this like the final, like everything matters. Even if you've got nothing left at the end of this game, we have to win.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, 538's got us as the favourites of the three teams to get in the top four, but it doesn't mean it's going to happen at all. It's Burnley. We hate playing Burnley. I hate playing Burnley at Turf Moor. We've gotten better against them in recent years. I think we finally realised what to do. You match them. You match them for intensity and physicality, and then you trust that your skill will ride through. But obviously, we're not what we were still. I don't know how many moments we've got, how many moments of mad luck. You know, if your goalie's scoring, it feels like that's it. It feels like that's it. You know what I mean? Exactly. You know, exactly. We know any luck we've had loads of luck go against us. The only way you can possibly counterbalance that is the most unlikely thing happening in terms of a goal scoring. So we might have actually karmically balanced the scales as much as that sounds ridiculous given how many injuries and mad VAR decisions and blah, blah, blah. My point in this is that we might have to just go and win this game of football.
Yeah, and I think it's mad really as well. When you look at the way kind of Klopp's tenure of being a Liverpool manager is, it's kind of always been on an upward trajectory apart from this season. And then the circumstances that you've just mentioned there, you know, losing so many of our players at the moment, I think it's 10 senior first team players that are not available to be picked in a match day squad. And you're thinking, bloody hell, we've literally just by the seat of our pants got through that because a goalkeeper comes up with a 95th minute winner. Like, you can't write that. But I think as Liverpool fans, if we have to take anything from it, it makes the importance of us going out to win the game now by our own sport and merit more important, because you can't take anything for granted. There's nothing that's going to stop either Leicester or Chelsea having their own miracles in the next two games themselves, because they've got 180 minutes worth of football to play. So the only thing that now kind of would curtail that is Liverpool doing the business, Liverpool not relying on the look of the green, Liverpool not relying on VAR, Liverpool just being the better team against Burnley and Crystal Palace over 180 minutes worth of football, and you can't have no arguments about it. If we do that, Champions League football's back on the menu. And I think from this squad, if you look at what Klopp's achieved since he's been here, you know, Champions League win, Premier League win, qualifying for top four with a half a squad would easily be the top three for me in terms of season achievements.
No, I agree, and it's weird to be in that situation. But you know, there's a thing where we've got on this game, Ross, where, to use some wrestling parlance, you don't want to go to the well too many times. You know, we don't want to have to call upon heroic moments, because when you leave yourself in that situation, you leave yourself open to it not working. Yeah. You know, more often than not, it doesn't, and that's got to be Liverpool's game plan here. You know, this is now, it's three games, and you know, Man United have a little bit of it too, to be fair, where you know roughly what you're coming up against. You know, in terms of how they're going to set, you know what your mission is. It's mission break them down. And having come through that, my hope, because we've created some really good chances in these games, we've been getting better. I mean, we're the top, with the form side in the Premier League, you know, which is a big deal as well. We know what the task is ahead of us, and yeah, it would just be the mission is to do it in 89 minutes rather than in 94, if you take my meaning.
Yeah, it's just comes for a 3-0 win and enjoying the game. We're not having to change our boxes after through a fucking match, like, too much to ask at this point. I think it is. I think context is important in this sense. You know, you said we're top of the form table, but, you know, so many of these draws and nearly moments, or in fact moments where we haven't made it and we've drawn the likes of Burnley and West Brom, have been with an even more decimated side, where you're playing Fabinho at centre-half and you haven't got that, and you're playing Thiago out of position, you're playing, you know, a front four that's just... I mentioned Bobby in the final word, a massive difference yesterday was the fact that he drops 20 yards deeper because he can get on the ball. It's pointless throwing him in the middle of two banks of four where he's just surrounded by bodies. He turns around, there's bodies. He can't do anything, he can't affect the game. So the fact that we're learning how to adapt to play these sorts of teams is fine. This is more hopeful, but I'm also hopeful that Burnley, like, oh, we've got nothing to lose, let's kind of play the game. But I understand it's also dangerous for them to play open, expansive football, as did against Leeds.
Yeah.
And they got punished for it as well. Yeah. So, you know, it's small wins and it's a mentality difference. But I'm sure Sean Dyche will like a win against Liverpool. How does he do that? Play the way that he normally plays?
Yeah, well, that's the encouraging thing, isn't it, Sam? You know, Ross mentioned it there. Leeds take them apart 4-0, which bodes well. Of course, they'll play Leeds differently than they're going to play us. You know, Sean Dyche will do the same as Allardyce and all that. A draw is a win. You know, it's because Liverpool are such a scalp in that regard, it's always going to be a thing. I mean, look, we've got a good recent record at Turf Moor. We've won the last three, 2-1, 3-1, 3-0. So, you know, we do know how to go to Turf Moor and win. You know, I'm hoping we don't need another Ragnar Klavan style moment to get us over the line in this one. But it was, you know, we look, again, it goes back to the point. we know the task in front of us. We've got tons of injury problems, and we'll discuss how we line up in a bit. But the good point about this is everyone's fixtures are congested now. Mm. Everyone is hurting. Every team is done. And there will come a moment, provided we're not stupid and we stay switched on, where Burnley, you know, will tire. And it's whether we've got enough in the tank to continue the same level of fight.
I think when we played Burnley earlier in the season, we were sort of in a so-called title race or whatever it was at the time, and they were struggling. They were down there. They needed to get points, and it was an awful game. Origi missed an absolute sitter. They got the worst penalty in the world. Like, literally, it was terrible the way it was given, and there was nothing in it. We had one off Mane that could have been given. We were terrible that day. We were awful. There was no excuses, but there was loads of little moments in the game that kind of went against us. Like, I think West Brom are a better team than Burnley in terms of the way they play. They might not be as clinical, as efficient, as effective, but they will control the game better than Burnley will. Now, they've got players like Pereira playing between the lines. Against Burnley, you're playing against 4-4-2. Me and Tarkowski need to make 100 clearances and blocks each, and you need Nick Pope to be on top form. Now, for a start, Nick Pope was injured the other day. If he's not playing in this game, that's a massive blow to Burnley, because he is literally, every single time they've got a single result against a top team, it's because of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a really interesting point. And the other big point worth considering for this, Edel, is that there will be fans back for this one. You know, 3,500 Burnley fans. It goes both ways, you know, because we can't, you know, I'm looking ahead to Crystal Palace. You know, we're saying there's going to be 10,000 Liverpool fans at Anfield on the final game of the season, potentially, you know, and that's a massive, massive thing. What a lift that's going to give. This is going to give Burnley a massive lift as well, but it's a different challenge. But hopefully it's something Liverpool can use to just ignite them, because, I mean, let's be honest, we've been crap against Burnley. But, you know, in the last, behind closed doors, we've struggled against them. You know, we drew at Anfield with them. We got beaten at Anfield with them as well. I'm hoping it is something we can just use as ammunition, as fuel, as fire for us.
I want to be thinking on the positives in terms of the fans' perspective, just because fans have been outside of the ground for so long now. I think it might suck at Burnley, and I know Sean Dyche will go in with his plan and his game plan, but I think the fans, they don't want to see Burnley do a Burnley against Liverpool for the first time back in the stadium for God knows how many months. They're just going to want to see them play a little bit of footy. They've got nothing to lose. Do you know what? This is a free hit, lads. Even if we do lose, and it gives Liverpool an advantage of getting into top four, let's not even think about that. We're not in that conversation. That's not our concern. What is our concern? Putting on a good show for our fans. It's the last home season of the game. Let's give our fans something to get off the seats and cheer about. Are we going to do that by parking 10 men behind the ball and just trying to hit Liverpool on the counter, very few and far between? I don't think they will. So I think the fans will drag out a more open style performance than what they would have done in the past, and the way we've been beat behind closed doors. And that's kind of that. I'm just trying to stay positive, because I think,
yeah,
naturally we feed off the atmosphere and energy anyway. I think they will start to get into that, and they might just think, oh, the game plan's gone out the window. You know, Liverpool have scored early. We've got nothing to lose now. Let's just play. And then before you know it, we score 2 and 3 and the game's gone. But they're happy to just have a kickabout with us. And I'd love that to be the way that fans out.
Fingers crossed. I mean, the hope for me is that what Liverpool have struggled with, that with no fans this season, is creating an atmosphere of edge and nerves, you know, and even away from home, you know, because home fans can get behind the club and they can give them a lift. And that, you know, it's telling that Liverpool, even at our best, have struggled in games where we're coming up against teams that have got big atmospheres. You know what I mean? That you know, because it's possible, we can't say that the big teams crumble against us. It does work both ways. But when you're creating a backs to the wall atmosphere and you're putting pressure on you need, you can beat the fans.
Yeah.
When you've got fans in there, and that can help to beat the team, because you want them going, when they're clearing things and they're a full stretch, it's hard to create a cauldron and a fearful atmosphere when it's just a bunch of lads kicking the ball away.
I think we've got a few people in our lineup that are up for a bit of shithousery and winding fans up in that sense. But yep. Also, I think there's players in our team that will want to put on a show. Like Errol said, maybe Burnley want to do it for their fans. But I think we've got players, Firmino, maybe Mane, that will thrive off putting a show for the fans away. And thinking, I've got a point to prove, especially if they're getting stick. Like, I can't imagine Burnley going to drop any sort of atmosphere. That's like no discredit to them, but I just don't think they will. But
it's fuel, isn't it? That's what I say. You know, you've got to be able to, top teams have got to be able to feed off hostile atmospheres as much as they feed off
the crowd as well, and players can feed off that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just a couple of points on Burnley, 15th in the Premier League. They're more likely, just on points, to end up in 17th and 12th, but both is possible. They'd have to win both games and the teams above them lose both of theirs to get higher up the table, but they could slip down. There's only a point really in it, and the teams below them down to the relegation zone, although miles away from, obviously, ever getting relegated, really, just because of how crap the bottom three were. They've scored just 33 goals in 36 Premier League games. Chris Wood is their top goal scorer on 12, which is a good goal return, but their next highest scorers all on 3, Westwood, Barnes and Vidra. So, you know, we know what the main threat for them is going to be, and it's a big task for the centre half.
Just give me food and drink for Nat Phillips this game, isn't it?
But that's my hope on that, honestly, you know, because, you know, this is not a team that are going to come at you with loads of skill and guile and trickery, hopefully. Fingers crossed, unless he maybe brings a surprise. We'll talk about Liverpool's lineup after a short break, but we have got a trivia question before then. Name the 4 Premier League era Reds to play for both, back after this very short break.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome back. Yes, the Hendo 10 Years of Red documentary series is coming. That is just, I can't even put it to words how little we've teased where with teaser one. That is but a teeny tiny atom on top of the iceberg. Teaser 2 will be coming hopefully at the back end of next week, probably over the weekend, maybe beyond. But yeah, we'll do a countdown to that, and then the series will be streaming on the redmentv.com from June. So if you want to get involved, honestly, I can't put into words how much we've leveled up with this. It's beyond anything any fan media has ever created. So yeah, if you subscribe to the redmentv.com, you can get involved with that. If you join a club legend level, you get loads of extra bonus features, more content from us, and a discount and free merchandise, live show tickets, because we're going to be able to do live shows again soon. Yeah, and all kinds of extra stuff. So do check it out. We've got a whole, it's basically like a little streaming service for Liverpool fans. So do get involved. Right, the question, Ross Chanley. Name the 4 Premier League era Reds to play for both Burnley and Liverpool. Got one?
Peter Crouch.
You were Peter Crouch first.
But still, one of the only one got the second one as his guest is Stephen Warnock.
No.
Oh.
Anyone?
No.
Sam, a shout?
I had Crouch.
Much more obvious one.
Danny Ings.
Shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Good shout.
Danny Ings.
Yeah, I would have went Crouch, that's about it, because he retired there, didn't he? So that's the only one I know.
There is a former Liverpool fullback. He has played left back for Liverpool, but he's not Stephen Warner.
Flanagan.
John Flanagan. The last one, which is a bit of a stretch, which I wouldn't expect anyone to get. And if you've got this one, give yourselves a massive pat on the back, is Paul Stewart as well. Played for Liverpool back in 1993-94. There you go. If you got them all right, you're an absolute godlike genius, and you deserve all amazing things to come to you in your life. Right, Ross, Kabach out for the season, Jota out for the season, to add to Van Dijk, Gomez, Matip, Henderson. there's a chance Milner and Ox might be fit. Klopp sort of said this post-match at the weekend. I mean, fingers crossed. Not because, I mean, I would be looking to make massive change. It'd be nice to freshen it a little bit because, look, it's three games in a week, ultimately, or three games in 8 days. Seven, no, literally three games in a week. We just need options. We are that, you know, we need it to go the other way. You know, we can't lose any more players because there's just not too many more players, senior players that we can fit on the bench at this point.
Yeah. I don't think I'd make any changes, to be honest. I think if I was Curtis Jones, I'd feel quite hard done by if I was rotated again for this game, because I don't think he did anything wrong. I think he was taken off because there was no one else. You're not taking Thiago off, not taking Fabinho off in that sense. I don't think Chamberlain's that bad because I'd like to believe that he was ill, not injured, which also helps. So like, I wouldn't start him. But again, it's looking at the bench and going, right, if I need a goal, I need something, you need Miller's energy, you need something to shore up a win, a bit of shithousery, or even to start him, you know, first 15 seconds of flying tackling to Burnley, go, we're fucking here, we're up for this game. That's what Milner brings. But beyond that, it's been the story of our season, of looking around and going, who else is there really? And again, I said it before on the final word, if you're desperate for a goal, you're not bringing on Origi, you're bringing on Shaqiri, who played, what, half an hour, and he was a bit shit. It's a bit meh.
The point of this, really, isn't it, Sam, is that there'll be realities to this of who can and can't play for whatever reasons. But we're here now. There's two games left. Klopp will put out, he'll put his bet, what he thinks is his best team out. He always does. You know, there'll be no sense of, oh, well, maybe we rest one or two because we've got to make sure. No, he will throw the meat at the grinder. And try and cog up the works. And if we come out on top, we'll figure out who's left standing to wear on Crystal Palace from there.
That's it. And let's be honest, with Palace, without looking too far ahead, they're going to be goosed after playing three games in a week themselves. They're not used to that. But Burnley will be wounded, and they'll probably come again with 10, maybe even 11, the same players again. That's the way Dyche really works, isn't it? I think Gini Wijnaldum plays this game unless there's something deeper to Klopp's thoughts. I just think if you've got somebody of that quality and experience to bring in fresh, you bring them in. Although his sort of actions within the game and celebrations at the end told their own little story maybe. So if he doesn't start, I think it's maybe us looking forward as opposed to his fitness. But I would play him physical. He gets stuck in. He's not scared of running. I think that first half of that game is going to be massive because I think they'll tire before we do.
Yeah, I think that's a big call in the midfield, isn't it, Errol? Because I think Kerr Jones had a pretty solid game, but you know what you're getting inside and out with Gini Wijnaldum. But it might be, you know, it might just been a tactical thing. You know, Kerr Jones is just wants to play 15, 20 yards higher up the pitch. He wants to go and link play on both flanks. Kerr Jones might have been played because we feel he's the kind of player we need for these type of games.
Yeah, 100%. I think the one thing you'd probably say about Genie's overall game, especially in a red shirt, is he's conservative. Do you know what I mean? He's very good at keeping the ball, recycling possession, you know, close 10, 15 yard passes, but he's not expansive. He's not really kind of trying to bust a gut to try and get past or break the lines that often. He has his moments and he picks his moments, you know, don't get me wrong. But I think you're right in terms of this last two games now. If it's not broke, don't fix it. And plenty of this Liverpool machine has been broke this season. I think we're almost at a point now where we could play a fit 11 versus a non-fit 11 on paper, and it would look like a really tasty lineup.
God almighty.
Do you know what I mean? Like, who would come on top in terms of our unfit 11 versus our fit 11? We've just got to that point now where the end is in sight. We've asked the players to give everything to this point. They have. They are running on empty. But you know, you're kind of like a plane in one of those films where the plane's going down and one of the engines just blew up and it's just like, it's stalling. It's like, how do we get the safest possible landing at this point? Well, we've got all the equipment on board. We might have to just let a few things out, but let's just stall and guide our way to the finish line. And I think if we can kind of do something like that, we should be all right.
Yeah. Any landing you can walk away from is a good landing analogy. Yeah. I feel like if we can land the season in the top four spaces, no matter what, you know, you slide it through the tunnel, the wings have been knocked off and you just come to a gentle rest.
You'll see clock coming out
around.
You see Klopp jumping out the cockpit like, I've done it.
Yeah, just lights a ciggy up. and sits down and shakes his head and laughs. Yeah, I mean, look, we've had a couple of super chats actually before we carry the conversation on. Robbie Brown, thank you, Robbie. He says, lads, woke up late for work. Manager completely understood why. I cannot get over last night. Full focus now on Wednesday. Absolutely. William Rigby, really enjoyed last night's live stream. Been struggling with exam season at uni, and your celebrations for Alisson's goal made my week. Up the Reds. Yes, let's hope we have a little bit more. I mean, let's hope it's not quite as necessary. I don't think there'll be any topping that. I feel like I might have peaked. That might be my.
I don't know where you go from there, Paul.
No, absolutely. It's pants off, isn't it? It might be the. It might be like. Yeah. Well, you know, the Martin Tyler, Andy Gray, Olympiacos, and basically the next time Liverpool played, they both sort of apologised for like the way they got a bit carried away with it all, you know, because they got swept up. Well, in the
Martin Tyler's never been the same since, has he?
Absolutely. He burned
himself. Never apologise for that, Paul. Never apologise.
you need a statement, mate. If we get top four, I'll do the show with me top off. Like I said, like Gary Lineker did it in his boxes, didn't he?
I don't want it. No, it's fine. I think we've all seen enough there. Thank you so much for the comments, guys. It's great. Look, we mentioned it before, Ross. The centre halves, it is what it is, and I don't want to. You know, we're into heavy. Jinxes feel important, sort of territory of the season here, aren't we? The centre halves, you know, to my point earlier, Burnley, we know what Burnley are going to do. You know, we've now come up, the lads have come up against Edinson Cavani, they've gone up against, you know, gone up against the West Brom team, they've played Harry Kane, you know, some of these lads. I'm hoping it's a decent fit. My worry is with pace in behind, you know, and that's definitely with Sam Allardyce literally went on national television and said that's what Liverpool's weakness is. I'm hoping Nat and Reece are just bang up for this. You know, I mean, it's going to be a big physical challenge up against Chris Wood, but hopefully they're more than capable of matching it.
Yeah, I said we meet and drink for Nat Phillips. There's literally bodies on the floor against West Brom with people just bleeding out of the eye sockets and all sorts. So I think I'm all right with him. I'm also all right with Reece Williams, but I think it's another task for him. It's interesting you say that because my concern wasn't the pace. My concern is the physicality. Now we're going to have set pieces and corners where there's going to be likes of me, Tarkowski, Wood, Barnes, that all might gang up on Reece Williams and go, just put it on him. We'll all stand on his feet, put the ball there, and we'll shove him off because he's quite slight. You know, he's still developing. He's still, you know, in his career and his body as well. That's a weakness that I'd kind of put on Liverpool, but I'm not changing it. Yeah. It's just another test for him that he has to pass. It's not his fault. He shouldn't be anywhere near that team. We've said this, but he has to pass another test, and he's done it time and time again. I know he made a little mistake against West Brom, which cost us, but I said before, if he doesn't go to that ball, it's fine margins. He might get it, he might not. If he steps off, someone's got the ball and they're running towards goal. It's, you know, it was a collective problem from the team. But you know, he has to step up. You know, and it's another test for him. You know, he might be playing for his Liverpool future, or certainly not a future somewhere else. And if he can surpass this test, then he's, you know, doing himself a favour.
Be interesting whether they play Jay Rodriguez actually, because I think he's one. He always seems to. I don't know whether he scores many. It's either feeling that Hal Robson Carney scored loads of goals against us, but no, that was his first in six goals.
Played for 3 years. Yeah, exactly. I thought he retired.
Yeah, be interesting to see whether they do anything slightly different. And you know, it will only be in terms of personnel more than anything else. Look, it is what it is. I don't have loads to say at this point. But just, you know,
it's the Tuesday game. That's the big build up for us more than anything else in terms of how the players get their minds around it. Do you know what I mean? I think that'll be huge. I think it's put a lot of pressure on that Leicester Chelsea game, which is kind of the perfect storm for us almost.
Yeah, what are we saying on that then? Obviously, as you rightly point out there, Errol, we've got Chelsea Leicester 8:15 on Tuesday night. What's the, for you, what results are you looking for?
I just want to draw, mate. I think seeing them two teams, seeing us do what we did yesterday, hopefully just knocks all the wins out of their sails. Leicester are still probably going to be on a high after winning the FA Cup. Chelsea are going to be like, well, we need to kind of overcompensate for losing the FA Cup. But then seeing Liverpool do that, I'm probably thinking, oh, are we now the Istanbul team? We're going to win the Champions League and not finish in top four. So I think they will end up having a stalemate just because they're both shitting themselves to lose. It's like, remember those games we've had in the past where it's like, just don't lose the game. I think it'll be in the back of their minds, just don't lose the game and let's take it to the last day and see where it gets us. And I personally don't think that's going to be enough for either team, but I don't think either team at this moment, given how much energy they've all put into the last couple of weeks of football, have got enough to go out and play a brilliant performance, or put in a brilliant performance, I should say. So I'm hoping for a draw just because it really does kind of put, especially if we do the business on the Wednesday, it puts us kind of in pole position to kind of put it, a marker down for top four.
Yeah. My dream scenario when we're talking about miracles is that Leicester actually win that game and we pick Chelsea to top four. So then Chelsea have to beat Man City in the Champions League final for them to get Champions League football.
I'm happy for them to have that extra motivation, certainly.
I'm happy for that too.
Yeah. I don't think Leicester will win it. I said this before the United game and I was almost right. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer making substitutions in corners, defending, idiots. But I actually said I didn't think Leicester would win a game again this season. And, you know, that wasn't necessarily the call. I mean, in the Premier League mind, I think that the FA Cup, you know, cast your minds back to when Liverpool have won cups and we've had massive moments. It's very difficult to come back down. Look when we won the league last year. It's almost parallel to that in that they've never won the FA Cup before. They had their fans there. There was a massive emotional outburst for Leicester City. I actually think that's more important to their football club moving forward over the next 10 years than getting the Champions League, because they've got nothing but a puncher's chance to go far in the Champions League. This was a trophy in the cabinet, a moment of history. So I think I think Chelsea will be a wounded animal and will win that game. I don't know what I want, because it's difficult to know, because until we get to the last game of the season and all the scenarios later, I don't really know. I'm just focused on Burnley from a Liverpool perspective. But I stand by, I don't think Leicester will win a game this season. I think Chelsea will turn them over and I think Spurs will turn them over. I think they've scrambled through the last couple of games.
It can go both ways. I mean, look, ultimately, I just want them both to lose, but I know that's not possible.
Let's come protest outside so we get suspended.
The Leicester thing, I can say, you can take it both ways. You know, they could be, just to give everything in that game, and it was such an amazing blow off. Having done that, how do you then get your focus back on stuff? But, you know, we're just looking at the 20th anniversary of the treble for Liverpool when we did a similar thing, you know, for Leicester to win the FA Cup and then go and secure the top four. That's, you know, they you could make the case on the flip side that they've built that momentum up for themselves. I know, like, the United could have beaten them quite easily at Old Trafford. You know, they gave them more of a game than people expected, given how poor the starting 11 was. So I can see your point. I mean, it could easily go that way. I think you could make that story one way or the other, to be perfectly honest. But I don't. My ultimate line on this is that I don't care and I'm not greedy. I have been for a lot of years, and I have cared too much, and I have been very greedy. And, you know, I'd like a confluence of events that leads us finishing third, because I think that would be because people would forget the whole season then. And people will go, okay, well, it was just Liverpool should have been in there because they're definitely a good enough team to be in and around that position. And you treat that as a positive. But really, it's so vital for us to just get in top four that I can't bring myself to really be asked how we do it. All I just want is that whistle to blow at Anfield on Sunday, and it's confirmed one way or the other. And I can just... massive exhale.
For the past 2 months, just get the season done. But on the Leicester stuff, we've got a Leicester fan on the Rand League this afternoon.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to get their perspective on what they want and whether Sam's right. Actually,
absolutely. Yeah. Check that out on redmantv.com. Go on, Errol.
Beggars can't be choosers at this point, Paul. Like, literally, we can't be choosers. And I think, it might just be me thinking it personally, and I don't think enough people have said it, because I think people kind of leveled it at us last season, that how poor the league was and overall quality. I think this season's league, maybe the top half of the tables league, has been poorer than it has been over the last couple of seasons, because by rights, other teams should have taken this out of Liverpool's hands weeks ago. You know, Leicester could have had a couple of performances that would have took it out of our hands. And likewise, Chelsea could have. Man U have had 70 points for a good couple of weeks themselves. They've just stalled out at 70. And I wouldn't say City have got off to a canter and won it, but they've done it relatively easy. There was nobody really that was going to challenge them or keep up with their pace. And I think everybody else past where we are now, obviously fighting for something, they've all looked really average. Everybody's been able to beat everybody. I know for the whole season, there's not been fans in the ground, but I'd say this season's quality overall has been poorer than last season's quality.
The league's fucked, mate. But again, it was always going to happen. You know, there's been no pre-season. You know, it's been a mad year. No, none of that. All the reasons. The football's been crap. Everyone's tired and injured. And I've said this all along. You know, if Liverpool can't win the next two games and they don't end up in top four, it'll be because they don't deserve. But it won't take away all the extenuating circumstances, because I still look at it. Everyone's struggling. Everyone. everyone, every team in the league has had a struggle. Just, and again, even if you've not had loads of injuries, just in terms of overall fitness and energy levels and motivation levels and all those kind of things, I contend if you just took out, if you just gave us back 50% of the freak injuries that we've had, you know what I mean? The ones that you only get every now and again, you know, once in a blue moon, and we've had them stacked up, we'd have been the closest thing to a challenger for Chelsea this season. I still contend that. It might sound crazy to look at it when we're needing goalie headers to get us past West Brom. But, you know, it's...
But on the flip side of that, look, we bought two defenders in January and they're both injured.
Yeah.
Along with everybody else. You know, we tried to solve the problem and then we haven't.
I'd go one further. I think if we had Van Dijk fit all season, we'd have won the league. I genuinely... You watch the team against West Brom, how weak we were in defence. I mean, literally, like, we struggled like fuck. We got away with that big time, being 1-1 all on 90 minutes. It was difficult. There's been games this season we've looked horrendous at the back. Villa was a one-off, you know, as was the 5-2 against City for you know, Leicester. It was a one-off. Them games happen, but across the season, you just literally, even if every injury stays the same and you put Van Dijk in, we're probably up there now. Maybe within a shout of catching City. You start throwing Thiago in and Jota in their 3 months hiatuses, you know, and off the back of that, you've got everybody else who's a bit more rested. You probably maybe lose one, if any, of those six home games on the spin. You know, you got to think we lost six home games on the spin. This season is, I know Errol, you said about the quality, has no bearing on next season. And that works both ways. Oh. Us going to Man United next season will not be easier because we beat them this year. It's going to be rock hard. And City and Everton rocking up to Liverpool next year have got... this season has no bearing on what they're going to have to overcome. It's been an absolute anomaly.
Yeah, only the lingering physical scars, I think, are the only the thing that's likely to have any lingering impact. But you're right, it's not been football this year, you know, and it's been something else. It's been literally almost been a different sport. It's been shite, and Liverpool have got a chance to drag themselves out of that and just mean that we didn't lose that. The most important, all Liverpool's mission now is to not lose ground, is not undo all the brilliant work that we've done, and you know, the finances that go with it and all that kind of stuff. It's just massive, and that's why it was a point made. I think Errol made it on the final word, but it's almost celebration worthy. It's, you know, it's not like a let's have a parade because we finished in the top four.
We're doing an Arsenal.
Top four isn't. Yeah, no. But the point is, you know, Arsenal became a bit of a meme for it because that became like the be all end all was just to finish fourth. Yeah, exactly. Whereas
they'd love that now.
Exactly. We scoffed, but their fans wanted more. But you know, you've got to be careful, haven't you? But just because of everything that's happened and everything that's cut away at Liverpool, you know, and blood is dry over the campaign, and how far we've fallen. If we get in there, it's not that I go mad. I'll probably just collapse in a big heap on Sunday if we do get it over there. A bit like Middlesbrough was a few years back. Yeah. It's hard to part. But I genuinely, it will be an achievement in its own weird, twisted way. Because, I said this before, look at our centre-back pairing. Look at them. We've got great other players. We've got not barely anything left on the bench. But look at the 11 we're putting out, regardless of what anyone wants to say. And I love Nat Phillips and I love Reece Williams. I think they've both been stellar. I think they've performed beyond our wildest expectations. But they probably don't get in any Premier League team as a starting pairing.
No chance.
Yeah. And particularly, as we said before, look at the bench as well. Like there's never any options for anything, and when you think you're fighting for something or things are getting a little bit better, you know, I said before, okay, we bought Kabak, Sound, well, there's something like a glimmer of hope or something that's going to get better. Ben Davies bought him, seen no sign of him. Now Kabak's out for the rest of the season, which is only three games. But every time something goes good for Liverpool, something else kicks us in the tits, and that's where you get to that point of going, just sign it, get it done. For two months, I've gone, get the season done. I'm done with it.
Yeah, go on, Errol.
Imagine. Sorry, go on, Errol.
Sorry, mate. Look how much of a fuss Gary Neville made the other day about Maguire missing that game against us. You know what I mean? It was a big competitive game. Their centre back's injured, and he's not able to play against, you know, one of the big rivals. And look at the impact in terms of how Man U were able to play and defend. You know, you're not comparing Maguire to Van Dijk because you can't. But in terms of the stature of what they mean to each of the respective clubs, they are pretty much identical in that. They're expecting Maguire to be their linchpin in the way that we expect Van Dijk to be our linchpin. We've had to go without that linchpin in defence for practically the whole season, really. Do you know what I mean? And to be fair, his form wasn't great before he got injured. So it was like he hadn't really got started and then was injured, so we went without him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been overlooked. And there's been so many little moments where, as Ross was saying, then we go one step forward and that's like three steps back. And I think from an achievement point of view, for Klopp to remember Klopp's first season, we didn't get it, but we got to a Europa League final and we thought, okay, that's progression. You know, we're showing we can be competitive. The next season, it was about getting into the Champions League. I think it was it the Emre Can overhead against the Watford that gets us there, and little moments like that. But he still hadn't built his squad. He had started to feed in a few players, but it wasn't his squad fully built and assembled. This is the first season he's had this, well, not first season, but one of the first seasons he's had his squad fully assembled and then it's broken like a Fabergé egg just smashed into pieces. And he spent the rest of the season delicately putting it back piece by piece. And he's looking round on the floor still for that
picking
one.
Picking up bits of cardboard and putting it there.
Just anything and everything. But when you look at it at the end of the season, he's going to put that Fabergé egg back in his cabinet and like pretend... Yeah, that didn't happen. It's still there. I can still see it in the eye, lad. It didn't happen. And I genuinely feel like he's managed to do that with a lesser squad. And it just showed, even if the quality hasn't dipped, the quality of the squad we've still got, if we get there, and it is a big if, it's just a phenomenal achievement for those lads.
Well, if you look at what happened at Man City after they won the league, and it wasn't the same kind of history as ours, but... Given that all the sort of backing behind it and what the investments had come to their club, they were under a lot of pressure to win the league. And obviously what happened, when Aguero scored that goal, they dropped off the next season. I think United ended up winning the league, didn't they, by about 12, 13 points the next season. They were shite in comparison to other Man United teams. You know, you could argue that after that massive triumph and the way it happened with the virus coming and the pandemic, no fans and all that, this team has almost faced that same, well, what do we do next? But then you add in all the problems. Big if we do get it, the incentive that's going to give these lads, the hunger next season will be there. But we have to get Champions League football. We have to beat Burnley.
Absolutely.
There's no bigger challenge that you can present at Liverpool side now, going like, if someone brought you a list of injuries, or it would be a scroll at this point, wouldn't it? Of like all those injuries that you got at the start of the season, plus no fans, plus all the, you know, the off-field stuff that these players gone through. They'd never go anything through anything like that ever again. There's nothing worse, but there probably is, but you know, in terms of football in terms, there's nothing worse where you can go, listen, you're going to lose 15 players and you're still going to make top four. If someone presented that list to you and said top four,
Yeah,
your hand off.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. And that's what I mean. The goal is now in front of us. They've got something to fight for. They've got some reason. They've got a reason for the pain. You know, you're hurting, you're sore, you're tired. It's been a shite year, shite season, all the things that they've had to put up, we've all had, but the light at the end of the tunnel, there's going to be fans at Turf Moor, there's going to be fans at Anfield, and I said this last week, win, just fucking win at Turf Moor and get it to Anfield. Regardless of what happens in that other game, regardless of what happens to Chelsea-Leicester, get it to Anfield and make it matter. And we'll have to see what happens from there. Look, we're not going to do score predictions. I'm too nervous. Get your predictions in. Let's hope we just fucking do it. Leave your score predictions in the comments section underneath. There'll be a starting 11 prediction. Well, it might. And if you want to, I just want to say thank you very much to Darren Williamson, who's just joined as a member here on YouTube. You get access to today's final word show. So if you want, we have about 45, 50 minutes looking back, talking about the game, mainly about Alisson's glory. That is the bonus content for all Wonder Kids and Cult Hero Legend members here on YouTube. So do check that out. And yes, don't forget to get the full Beans Redmen TV experience on the redmentv.com and get ready for our Hendo 10 years of Red Dock as the season finishes. Other than that, gents, thank you so much. Thank you very much for watching and we'll see you all soon. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.